surgeon's building, and two churches had been set afire. In St. Paul, it had been a hotel. The race was on. But how were they going to find this anonymous firebug? Well, it turned out he'd written his note on a page torn from a Gideon's Bible, the type found in hotel rooms. The next day, a search party fanned out, going to every single hotel and hotel room looking for a Gideon's Bible with a missing page. And they found one at the Rand Hotel at 6th and Hennepin. They also found the former occupant's signature in the guestbook. The 22-year-old arsonist, a visitor from Michigan, confessed to the fires and also to setting blazes in two other cities.
MN90 is produced by Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities. Made possible by funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Online at mn90.org.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI-FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Online and archived at kfai.org. The community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
For most people, they like to write, but they don't like to talk or promote. And that was very, very difficult for me because I was taught you don't blow your own horn. You don't talk about yourself. You're there, but you encourage others, but you don't brag. And so when I finished my book, it was hard for me to be able to say, hey, I wrote a book.
Bonjour, hello. Welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Cole Primo. Miigwech for joining us. Native Lights is more than a podcast and radio show. At its core, it's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Each and every week, we have captivating conversations with guests from a whole lot of different backgrounds. We're talking musicians, artists, community leaders, you name it. They have a wonderful mixture of passions, and we talk to them about their gifts and how they share their gifts with the community. And it centers around finding purpose in our lives. And I can't wait to continue amplifying Native voices. Leah, how you doing? What's going on? How you doing? Hey, hey.
Hey. I'm doing good. I am just taking some time to relax. I'm still working, but I'm trying to get more sleep these days because I feel like, you know, the darker the days, like the more we need to sleep, in my opinion. So just trying to respect that and get to bed a little earlier, wake up a little later. How about you?
Yeah, it might be a recurring theme, but yes, we've had some guests who they talk about how they try to balance work, life, all that good stuff. And I've been working on that as well, trying to de-stress while also doing as much work as I possibly can and as well as I possibly can. So we're recording this in December and, you know, we've got to think about getting presents for the family and going to family occasions.
Oh, yeah.
While also trying to get work finished. So, you know, just trying to balance everything.
I know. Are you doing anything special this month?
I just went to a ugly Christmas sweater party that the Friends group has every year in Champlin. It's always a good time. I actually bought like this cool reindeer jumpsuit kind of thing. I kind of look like a mobster Christmas guy. I don't know.
That's hard to imagine.
I saw it at the store and it was speaking to me and I had to grab it. That and we'll, of course, have our family get-togethers later this month. And looking forward to that. Just got to get presents. I'm always procrastinating.
You don't have to get me anything, Cole.
No, I will. I'll even put it in a plastic bag. I'll wrap it in a plastic bag for you. Just joking.
A generic plastic store bag.
No, I love grabbing, you know, the gifts bags and just putting some tissue paper in there. That's I can't wrap gifts, you know. I'm terrible at it.
Are you terrible at it or are you impatient?
Little bit of both.
Well, you'll notice I do the same thing. Just throw it all in there, cover it up, call it good.
Yeah, it's the thought that counts.
Yes.
But yeah, the guest today, I ran into her while buying, not presents, but buying groceries. She was at a local grocery store showing off her book that she wrote, you know, sparked up a conversation. Eventually asked if she'd like to be on the show. So it's always nice when you just randomly meet people out in the world. So that was kind of nice. Today, our guest is Colleen Baldrica, a White Earth Nation citizen and author of the book entitled Tree-Spirited Woman. That's the one that she was talking with me about. She's been working in public education for nearly 30 years and is currently mentoring new authors, leading drum circles, making presentations, and more. She actually happens to live in my area around Stillwater. It was great to run into her, and I can't wait to talk to her today.
Bonjour, Colleen.
Bonjour, Colleen. Could you start out by introducing yourself and, you know, just telling us a little bit of your background and where you're joining us from?
I'm Colleen Baldrica. I'm a retired school counselor. I am an author. I am part of the White Earth Pebina Band, and I'm come from Stillwater, Minnesota.
Stillwater represent. I recently moved out here not too long ago, so I'm starting to enjoy the area. Well, I've been always enjoying the area, but getting to know the area, it's great.
Well, welcome.
But yeah, how are you? How's the family doing?
Everybody's doing really, really well. All my kids live out of state, so nobody will be around here for the holiday, but we all talk and everybody's doing well. We just went up to northern Minnesota, up by Virginia, and my husband's a musician and he played in Tuba Christmas with a bunch of other baritones and tubas. It was very interesting.
Tuba Christmas. Okay.
You've never seen it? You have to Google it.
Very nice.
Well, Colleen, I'm glad I'm next because I'm upset I missed it. I live in Grand Rapids. I could have popped over.
That was in Virginia. Yeah.
It's right in the neighborhood. Tuba Christmas. How have I missed this? That sounds amazing.
Right in.
So my kid, Marvin, is in sixth grade and he had to pick an instrument and he picked tuba. So we have a tuba in the house.
Well, I have to tell you, the youngest tuba player was 11 years old.
Oh.
And the oldest was in their 80s.
Oh.
They played all these little Christmas songs and the salute at the end is they all hold up their big tubas and baritones.
That is so cool. Yes, he plays a tuba and he plays the upright bass. He loves those big instruments, those big low instruments. Colleen, is there anything that you are concentrating on or thinking about these days that, I don't know, that's kind of exciting you?
I'm mentoring this young woman, kind of. She's a new author, and it's a novel, and she's writing in a historical way, and it's really fun. I get so excited that I can help. I'm a beta reader. Do you know what that is? When somebody has written a number, say the first three chapters, and now they're curious, is it going in a way, a direction, and they give you questions. And so I've read the first three chapters, and then there are questions in how it's going, the character development. You know, it excites me that I can see these women that are reaching out and trying all these great things and saying, I always wanted to do it, and they're doing it. And they're not letting other sidelines get to them.
Well, that's got to be incredible then. So this is a new author.
Yes.
And pretty fresh then to the field, I take it.
I mean, she's not published yet.
Okay.
So they are writing with the dreams that some big agency will take them. The odds are that doesn't happen very often. Most are independent, self-published press.
How did she know to get in touch with you?
Actually, I'm part of a group of women, and they're called Women in Writing. So it's like, wow. You have to be invited by somebody. We meet once a month. We meet for like 2.5 hours. Everybody gets 3 minutes to speak. We don't talk about what's happening in our lives. We talk about what we're doing, whether it's writing, whether we're being active or marketing, or for example, this Friday, I get to share that I had this wonderful interview with you guys. And so everybody will say, oh, Colleen, that is so great. And we cheer one another and we inspire and we really encourage and help everybody feels heard when they leave. And they know that there's somebody within the group that they can reach out to if they have questions, whether it's about publishing, whether it's about marketing, whether it's about, oh, I'm at a writer's block. I don't even know what to do. And we're just there to support one another.
That's so cool. Well, tell them we said hi.
We'll say that.
Well, we're glad to be a part of that.
Thank you.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Colleen Baldrica, White Earth Nation citizen, educator, and author of the book Tree-Spirited Woman, the book presents a guiding friendship between a young woman and a wise mystical woman. So yeah, we were actually going to ask you about, you know, how you mentor new authors. Are there some common things that you help with aspiring authors? Do they, you know, have some common questions that they come to you for? Or just how is that whole mentoring process?
Really, what they are looking for is somebody to help them have the confidence to know they can do it. Because so often you just kind of say, oh, can I even write? Is this even something I should be doing or where I'm at? And I hate it when people should on you because you don't want to stop yourselves, you know? And that's like, anyways, basically they come and they say, well, I'm doing this and I'm starting it now. I don't know where I'm going. And you cheer them on. And then they finally get out and they say, hey, look, my book is here and I've got a copy of it right now, or I've got the cover. Or can you guys help me with the cover? Can you help me with what I should write as a preface, what I should write about this? Is anybody, could you write a review for me? Could you do this? So we're just there. You know, I'm there to help. A lot of it, once you write the book, that's the easy part. For most people, they like to write, but they don't like to talk or promote. And that was very, very difficult for me because I was taught, you don't blow your own horn. You don't talk about yourself. You're there, but you encourage others, but you know, you don't brag. And so when I finished my book, it was hard for me to be able to say, hey, I wrote a book. That was hard. You can't sell a book if you don't tell them. So I found that out. And so a lot of the young people are the people that are writing now. They're older, younger. There's a wide range of ages. Once they have it done, it's like, okay, now what do I do? How do I get it out there? How do I get people to know other than just family and friends? I've had a pretty good success with that. And so I can kind of say, this is what I've done. There's no clear way, but most often the authors think, oh, I wrote a book. It's got to be in a bookstore. And a bookstore is only one of the places. People often will go in or they'll look on Amazon, hear about something, then they'll go into the bookstore to buy it, or they'll go in and look and then they'll go somewhere else and buy it. So it's looking at where your book might fit. My book fits in resort areas where women shop. I know where my audience is because it's an inspirational book that touches. One woman was writing about pet parenting and how to do all of this stuff as a pet. Well, where should I go? Well, you know, there's a lot of veterinarians, a vet. You can go there, go here. So helping people think outside that little cubby that they put themselves in.
Indeed. And I hear you on the promoting oneself. I've been a musician for many, many years, and promoting my music has been always been a problem. Like you said, tooting one's horn is, I have a certain way of feeling about that. Like I kind of try to distance myself from it, but you got to do it, you know?
I will have to introduce you to my husband. He still plays live and he goes to the studio and records. And
there we go. Collab. And then maybe I could help get a little better at promoting too. Working on, you know, always trying to work on stuff.
Yeah, he does not. And he's terrible at promoting. So.
All right. Well, we have something in common. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about your book. I saw you at the store and you're very passionate about the book. But let's first hear a little bit of your backstory.
Okay. All right. My backstory is at 17, I started high school, started my senior year, and then I turned 17. Then I got pregnant. Then I graduated high school. Then I had a baby. Then I turned 18. Oh, I got married in there too. You know, it lasted a few years. And then all of a sudden, I find myself a young single mom, and I don't know what I'm going to do. A few years after that, it was 10 years out of high school, my 10th year, I decided I'm going to go to school. I'm going to go to college. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I went and I started. And my first quarter, I got an A, B, and a C. So, you know, success breeds success. Now I felt I could do it. And I succeeded and decided to go. But I also met my first quarter, a Lakota medicine man at school. That's just an important little trivia because grandma lived with me growing up and was my significant person in my life. And one day at school, I didn't know what I was going to do. I mean, should I even be going to school? Should I be doing anything? What am I doing? And I went out by the school. I'm hiking in the woods because the woods are my sacred place. And I went going back into the woods and I'm crying and I'm praying and I'm saying, gosh, what do I do? What do I do about my faith, my life, my school, my parenting? And I literally got stopped by this tree. I mean, I was there and I could just feel this boom. And I felt that the tree, I know the tree spoke to me. I feel it was my God speaking to me. But it basically told me I had to learn to let go. I had to raise my branches. I had to let go of all the garbage. And I remember out there just crying and praying. And I remember raising my hands and feeling like all this junk was being pulled from me. And it answered a lot of questions about my faith, about a lot of different things. I had a lot of stuff answered and I'm out there. And when I walked back into the school, the first person I saw was this Charlie. I told him what happened. And he said, "Colleen, that is so powerful. I am giving you the name." And he said it in Lakota. It was Tree Spirited Woman. Now, that was at that point. Now, I wasn't a writer. I mean, I'm starting college and I didn't do real well in high school. My mother was not a positive person. "You're dumb, you're stupid, you know, you da da da." So I never tried. Why prove her right? And so now I'm going to start college and I'm thinking, well, what do I do? So I'm writing my English papers and they go, "Oh, this is so creative." But you know, they're run-on sentences. And I'm thinking, what the heck's a run-on sentence? Really had no idea at that time. Now let's fast forward a couple of years. And now I've started having this dream that I had to write this book. It would be in the style of Siddhartha and the Prophet. It would be between a young woman and an older woman, and it would all take place in the woods, but I had to grow into it. That dream reoccurred a few times, and I remember saying to somebody, I would tell my husband that I have to write this book someday. I'm going to do it, but I wasn't ready. And so now, about 13 years later, and a couple of degrees that I had received, I started. And I brought it up to a person and I said, "Yes, I'm going to write in this group." And this one woman looked at me and she goes, "Well, you are going to write about, and you are going to say, and you are going to do, and you are." I literally went, "No, it's got to be what it's going to be." And the book is a gift, I believe, was given to me. Siddhartha and the Prophet, if you know what they are, Siddhartha is some Brahmin searching for the ultimate one, and he's doing a spiritual journey. And the Prophet are just, you know, little things about, is it about children, marriage, and the chapters are precise. So I knew my style, I knew the size, and I knew I had to start with the gift of listening. Without listening, there was nothing. But then I had to make it into a story. So it's a novel with a lot of my life in it. It talks about my grandma, which was, a lot of it is true. The letter that I say she wrote, she didn't really write that, but she said a lot of those things to me in my lifetime. But you have to write a novel, you know, you have to have a story. And so then it would go and I let it grow, but I would listen, you know, I would write and then I might put it away for months, maybe a year. And then it would come and all of a sudden I knew I would just sit down and it was like the voice would come. I would wake up in the middle of the night and I just knew I had to write this. I would sit down and write it. And if you looked at it, it's, the chapters are really short. It's listening, you know, there's one on truth, there's one on marriage, there's one on aging, there's one on death, there's one on relationships, you know. So they're all different little ones in there. So it's real easy for me when I'm focusing then because I can focus on that little bit. Otherwise, if you look at the whole picture, I probably would never have done it. I would do that, but the dream would hit me back. I had to do it. And so I didn't tell anybody I was writing because I'm not like some of these authors now that are coming and say, "Oh, I want this," and they want the feedback, they want that. I was not secure enough in my writing or in what I was doing that I knew if somebody said it was really awful that maybe I would never do it, but I knew I had to, okay? I sent it out to one person, one agency, and they said, "Oh, it's good, but we're not doing memoirs." And I remember thinking, but it's not a memoir, but it reads as such. And I hadn't had it edited yet because I was so naive. That's the other part where I help these people and let them know the steps. You know, there's a lot more steps than you're aware of. So she said, "Oh, maybe you want to make it a novel." And I thought, no, I dreamt that this is what it had to be. And then it finally came out and now I have to tell people. So I had a little book launch and now I remember singing in the choir. I talked to the person on my left. I talked to the person on my right, but I don't get up and talk and, you know, stand up and say a whole lot. So when it's done, I kind of just said, "Well, I wrote a book. If anybody would like to see it," of course they all bought the book because they're really nice people. But I was so you know, how did it change me? I've learned how to have more confidence in myself. Now, over these last number of years that it's been out, I have met phenomenal people. I have had opportunities to present for many different retreats and groups. I have gained much more confidence in believing that what I did and writing and getting up and talking about what I believe and what I feel, even though some people might look at it and go, oh, yeah, but somebody's going to get what they are meant to get from it. I believe that no matter where you go and speak, somebody, you're speaking for the person, maybe one person that really needs to hear what you're saying. And I just feel like when I get to do it now, it is a gift. And I feel honored and I feel like, wow. And then I get these wonderful letters that I have received from people all over the United States telling me a certain chapter that they really needed to read that because it was a time in their life that they were struggling. I kind of think it's a self-help book without you knowing it's being helped, but it's all these little lessons. But I think if you're reading it and you're open to it, you feel what I felt when I was writing it. You feel her speaking.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Colleen Baldrica, White Earth Nation citizen, educator, and author of the book Tree-Spirited Woman. The book presents a guiding friendship between a young woman and a wise and mystical woman.
Could you talk to our listeners who may not have read it? Of course, we don't want to spoil it, but what are some of the more significant teachings that you would like to talk about?
I'll give the gist of it. It's about a young woman who walks in the woods, and she walks in there, and she's a young single mom, and she's walking in the woods, and she comes across this woman who's sitting there, and she quietly turns around to leave, and the woman says, no, stay, I was waiting for you. And she thinks, no, you have me mixed up for somebody. Well, this woman says, no, you are the one. And you're the one that's supposed to pass on what is being said, what women are questioning, but men are questioning too. And so she ends up meeting with this woman once a month for 1 year, for one circle. It starts with the beginning, and the last chapter is the end, because there's a beginning and there's an end, and everything is circular. So it goes through. And she's very like, I'm not going to do it. I have no time for this. I cannot. But then she decides to do it. And the first lesson she has to learn is how to listen. Because with everybody, we all have to learn to quiet ourselves, to really learn how to look at someone, not only looking at hearing their words, but listening to their tone, watching their body language, hearing what they're saying, and really being there present. So the first lesson is the gift of listening. And the importance of listening and how to listen. I started with that because it is the most important lesson. I mean, it's the best gift you can give to anybody and it costs nothing. And so often nobody gives it. So it's really an important. So that's where it starts.
And we get to listen to your lovely voice narrating the audiobook. And I myself am a big fan of the oral tradition and listening to stories. You know, I'm a radio person, and you know, I like reading too, like, you know, with my eyeballs, but it's really fun to see also the availability of the audiobook.
And I am an audio learner. I would never skip a class in college because I need to hear. I also listen to books on tape, audiobooks. I have an audiobook going, but I also have a book that I'm reading because at night it's my come down time and audio is not what I want. But I did it, I wanted to do it for the future generation of my grandkids to be able to hear my voice. So, you know, I think about mom and dad, you forget, and I want them to hear my voice. You know, I'm always talking or telling them jokes or telling a little something. So I made it. And then I finished in January of 2020, and then COVID hit. I wanted it out there because for me, I think it's important. I hope that someday, even with technology, those audiobooks will be around. You know, I think how sometimes technology changes and you have it for one thing and it no longer works or fits, but I'm hoping that it does.
Sure. Well, the audiobook is 2 hours long, if I'm correct.
Not much longer than that.
How long did it actually take you to do?
there's a nice little studio here in Stillwater up the hill. My husband goes to another one and he goes to a studio and he says, oh, you can go here. And I thought, no, I don't want to go where he went. I wanted to do something totally different. And so I found the studio. And so I would go in and I would just sit down and like we're having a little conversation here on a nice little chair. He'd have it set up. I didn't read it all in one day. I read a number of chapters one day, and then I have to go home and I have to listen to it. And then I have to change it and get rid of, you know, maybe a little part in the center that didn't go or that I said, or I did that. Overall, the process took a few weeks because my book is not that long. If it was a real novel, it would have taken a whole lot longer, maybe 3 weeks from start to finish. And the other part was, you know, I would hear it and then I would talk to him and say, okay, this is where I'm not hearing this part, or I hear my voice went lower, or I did this. And in the end, I'm not sure, you know, we did the best we knew, but this is what he does now. He does them for all over the world. He has readers that read them in other parts of the world. And I don't know how they do it on his, but he gets it and he does it. And then they promote it. And well, he doesn't promote it, but they, you know, it's done and it goes out there.
It's so fun to hear the author read their own book. Say, I noticed you had music as well in the beginning and the end. Was there a significance to that?
There was. I have a native flute that I bought, and being my husband is a musician, I'm here and I'm trying, but the holes were a little too big for my little fingers, and I'm trying, and so I brought it home the first time. I said, look, Jim, what I bought, and he goes, whoa, and he just went, you know. He created the music and played.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It sounds great. I was like, who is this?
This is Jim, my husband.
Very professional.
He created it and he wrote it. And then Keith up there, the guy who I'd worked with, he was a drummer and did stuff. He says, you know, do you mind if I put a little beat in there? No, perfect. Because, and the two of them, you know, but Jim already knew what he was doing. He went in his room and he put a tune together and said, how does this work? He wanted it to sound like an echo, like I would be talking and she would be talking and it would be so.
A conversation with instruments. How fun. It's like the best of all worlds to me.
That's great. So, you know, as we kind of close out, you know, thank you so much for your time. And could you talk a little bit, you know, you're talking about mentoring other people, but are there some mentors that you look back on and who you need to give some credit to for helping you along your path?
I have a number of mentors in different phases of my life. When I decided to go to school, college, I had a friend who really said, you can do that. You're going to be able to do it, when I'm doubting myself. But individually, the writing thing, well, there was this Gloria, and Gloria would be, she was a cheerleader like, oh, Colleen, this is a great, you are the best at this. You are there, you know, builds you up and just always made me feel like I was the best. And she passed away very unexpectedly this past year. And it was like, wow. And she was part of this Women on Writing, this WOW group. And part of me, because she was there for everybody, always wrote the reviews, always did this other stuff. There's a side of me now that thinks, well, maybe that's my turn now to come up and do more than what I was doing with the other women and the authors, and in volunteering to say, okay, I will help you here. They are the ones that helped me really have the confidence.
It's great hearing from, you know, if you're working on something, you know, similar, or if you're working on a book or any type of art, just trusting your gut.
And I know we're supposed to be humble, but you can still be humble and promote yourself. That's what I think.
I gotta learn that. I gotta learn it. Keep on going. A lot of wisdom from Colleen today. Really appreciate it. All right, so miigwech to our guest, Colleen Baldrica, White Earth Nation citizen, educator, and author of the book Tree Spirited Woman. I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening. Gigawabamin.
Gigawabamin.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPERS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Nobody wants a DWI.